good morning to our friend, Dr. Jason Cans from jasoncans.com. First thoughts?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. It is January 19th. This is my dad's birth anniversary. He was born on this day, January 19th, 1939. So I know I was just talking about my grandma's birth anniversary. It's a big week for birth anniversaries for me. So
apparently. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So he would have been like 82 today.
Yeah.
And he left us in 2006. Yeah, left us in 2006. So, yeah, this July it's going to be 15 years. So, boy, it just life goes by like a snap of the fingers, you know?
It does. It does. That's for sure.
Mm-hmm. So, a big week, Inauguration Eve today. Hugh Hewitt was saying, listening to him on WOGO, our sister station in the way, and he's like, this could be called Pardon Day. And I was saying to my wife last night, I'm like, I mean, do we view what God has done for us? I said, well, the Lord has pardoned us. It seemed like it's a good spiritual analogy. And she's just like, well, yeah, but somebody had to pay the price. You know, it wasn't just freely given. So,
yeah, that's a good point, I guess. Mm-hmm. I'm glad for your angle on it, though, that we should remember Pardon Day. Mm-hmm. You know, that maybe remember that every day.
Yeah.
But Peggy's also right.
Yeah. So. Well, you posted something on Facebook here I wanted to tackle here this morning. A couple of days ago, gaslighting sounds like, and there's a whole bunch of, you know, 15 things here. So tell me about gaslighting.
Yeah, so gaslighting is a term some people may have heard but not really understand what it means. I know in the last few years it has really gained a lot of momentum, certainly in the online format. And gaslighting is, from a psychological perspective, a way of manipulating other people. The term actually comes from a 1944 movie that had Ingrid Bergman in
it. Yeah.
And
that's what's so striking to me, Jason, is that, you know, it's all of a sudden taken on a rage in recent years. It's a 1944 movie people always talk about.
Right, exactly. And so what was happening in that movie is the woman's husband would make these small changes in her environment. For example, dimming the lights.
Yeah.
And she would point it out, and he would say, that's not true. You're
right.
Crazy. And make her feel like she was paranoid and going nuts, basically.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
And so this term has entered a lot of the, not only psychological literature, but I think a lot of even social media, we're seeing a lot of this now. So. Discussions of abuse and that sort of thing.
I've got some of the, you're looking at the bubbles, are you looking at this thing? Let's do this together.
I am, kind of, I've got it pulled up in front of me.
All right, there's a bunch of sayings, let's alternate here. One of them, people say, you know you're being gaslighted, somebody says, are you sure? You have a bad memory.
Yeah, you're so sensitive.
Why are you so defensive?
There you go again.
I didn't do that.
You're overreacting.
You need, you know, there's a theme here. Everything's like, it's your problem, right? You need help.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're so pathetic.
Why are you so upset? I was only kidding.
I never said that.
That never happened.
You're so thin-skinned.
This is, you're imagining things.
You're making that up.
It's your fault.
Can you hear yourself?
Stop acting crazy.
Yeah. You know, reading through that, I'm sure many of us have heard people say those things.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, as I was reading through the list this morning, are there times I've said those?
Sure.
You know, and
yeah.
or thought those internally. And but again, it's a technique. These are techniques to manipulate people to second guess themselves. It helps us to deny responsibility. And they can have some pretty potent effects on people, and it's scary.
Yeah, it can really mess with your mental health, right?
Absolutely. You know, again, I think this happens a lot of times. People have heard of verbal abuse and so forth, and again, I think that's, or emotional and psychological abuse, and this is something that happens, I think, in interpersonal relationships. It can happen in cultures, so organizations, churches, a lot of different places you can see these happening.
So this could be a whole talk show, a whole book, but I mean, if somebody's, you know, I guess the first step is just like anything, being aware, and then how do you deal with your gaslighter?
Right, exactly. And so much of the stuff, I think, is setting boundaries, being direct with these things, knowing who we are and what we have said. Finding support, I think, is really important as well.
Would this work? I mean, this is what I did as a kid. I'm rubber, you're glue, everything you say bounces off me and sticks to you. Could I do that?
You know, I use that one, too. Sure, yeah. I use that one a lot. I'm rubber, you're glue. That's beautiful.
Yeah. All right, there you go. Thank you, Jason. We'll talk to you tomorrow. WWIB. So what's the story?
So you were saying off the air you haven't seen the movie with Tom Hanks, The Terminal. I think Catherine Zeta-Jones is in that, too.
Yeah.
And so basically he becomes a man without a country. So he has a fantastic accent in that. He's so talented. Mm-hmm. And he comes from a country, Cracovia, I believe it is. And so his country, I think there's some unrest there. And so he's not allowed to fly back to his country. And so he starts living in this terminal. And it goes from just, sleeping on a bench, so to speak, to him actually, making this terminal his home and redoing a bunch of things because he's very talented with his hands. And anyway,
it's like Castaway with people.
Yeah, it's a fun movie. And so this, you would think, is fictional, but actually something similar just happened in O'Hare International Airport, just about 6 hours from here in Chicago. A man too afraid to fly due to the pandemic lived undetected in a secure area of O'Hare for 3 months.
Wow.
36-year-old Adita Singh was arrested on Saturday, kind of sad, after airline staff asked him to produce his identification. He pointed to a badge, but allegedly it belonged to an operations manager who had reported it missing back in October.
Huh.
Mr. Singh arrived on a flight from L.A. to O'Hare on October 19th. He reportedly found the staff badge in the airport and was, quote, scared to go home due to COVID. Seemed like he was fine flying the first time. He managed to live on handouts from other passengers. He lives in a suburb of Los Angeles. Does not have a criminal background. Not clear why he was in Chicago and why he was living in a restricted area of an airport.
He lived on handouts from other passengers for 3 months?
For 3 months.
Wow.
And here's the whole thing. I know whenever I have flown, there's repeated messages over the PA system and flashing signs.
Yeah.
If you see something, say something. You would think someone would be like, is this guy supposed to be in that area? Anyway, so hopefully he was not up to anything nefarious and has learned his lesson about not living in an airport.
The terminal in real life.
We're both sports fans. Halvo's had a little bit longer to be a sports fan than I have, and he has acquired a vast array of knowledge. So we're going to quiz you about the Super Bowl, which is coming up, and not trying to look ahead for the green and gold, but sure would love to get back there.
Oh, yeah.
This will be an easy one. In fact, all these are multiple choice. I think you can run the table on these.
Let me give it a go.
What year was the first Super Bowl played? 1942, 1967, or 1971? What year was the first Super Bowl played?
I can give you January 15th, 1967.
Wow, he's going above and beyond. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
You've taught me that, Caleb.
Correct. I actually learned that from Mario Teaches Typing. That's how I learned some of my Green Bay Packers history, believe it or not. What network carried the first Super Bowl? Was it NBC and CBS? Was it just CBS, or it wasn't televised? So what network carried the first Super Bowl? NBC and CBS, just CBS, or it wasn't televised?
It was televised, and I'm going to say it was NBC and CBS.
You're absolutely correct. Yes, the first Super Bowl carried by both networks after Super Bowl I. They rotated, then ABC carried Super Bowl 19. So they had a monopoly for a while.
Yeah, you kind of had that deal going on from the AFL and the NFL, so, all right.
This is a gimme. I'm not going to even give you multiple choice on this. Which team won the first two Super Bowls?
Packers.
He is 3-for-3, ladies and gentlemen.
All right.
All right, let's keep going on. We have three more in this Super Bowl quiz for Halvo on the Wib Wake Up Show. Which city has hosted the most Super Bowls? Is it New Orleans, Miami, or Los Angeles? Which city has hosted the most Super Bowls?
So we're going to get rid of Los Angeles. It's New Orleans or Miami.
New Orleans or Miami.
I'm going to say New Orleans.
You're going to say New Orleans? First one you missed. It is Miami.
All right.
And I do think that you will be able to get these last two.
Okay.
So again, going for 5-for-6 here. What is the oldest NFL franchise never to make it to the Super Bowl? Is it the Philadelphia Eagles, the Detroit Lions, or the Cleveland Browns? The oldest NFL franchise never to make it
to the Super Bowl. I want to go above and beyond to try to earn extra credit to redeem myself. There are four teams who've never been to the Super Bowl. Detroit would be the oldest because Cleveland left, went to Baltimore, came back, and still kept Cleveland. The other two who've never been there are, be impressed, Jacksonville and Houston.
My goodness. Yeah. Yes, the Detroit Lions, the oldest ever to make to the Super Bowl. I'll give you a golf clap for that one, because that was very impressive knowledge. And finally, to go 5 for 6, which franchise remains the only team to lose 4 consecutive Super Bowls? Do you need multiple choice for this one?
The Buffalo Bills.
The Buffalo Bills. Oh. And we were talking off the air how might be kind of nice to see the Bills get back.
If the Packers can't win it, can we agree that we'd like to see the Bills? Kansas City won last year, but Buffalo's never won one.
Well done. This wasn't difficult at all for you.
See, my wife helps the kids with things like accounting and math, and if they have any sports questions, I'm here for them. We Are Messengers. Love that tune. Image of God, WWIB. Well, we were just talking off the air about Friday, the anniversary of Roe versus Wade.
Yeah.
48th anniversary. The image of God. Everybody you've ever met. You are yourself, and everyone is an image bearer, right? With a soul that is the breath of God's mouth.
So. Yeah, I remember my dad bringing this up in church a couple of weeks ago, I think, when you talk about violence and even murder, the greater offense is the offense against the image of God. We think about the physical offense, but the greater offense is against the creator of that human who made he or she in his own image. Like, we miss what a marvelous, amazing thing that is, but also our responsibility as image bearers.
Yeah, and I think, boy, we could probably go on longer, but I mean, I think sometimes what parts the company between those who support abortion rights and those who don't is that those who don't are saying, but that little boy or girl is made in the image of God, you know? And so,
yeah.
All right, it's the WIB Wake Up Show, and we're talking household chores here a little bit.
Yes, and we have, again, between men and women, top 5 most despised cleaning tasks when it comes to things around the house. So maybe we go back and forth here between men and women.
Tell me where this is. I don't even know.
This is right about fun and games today. So among men, we'll start from 5 to 1. We'll letterman it. So most despised household cleaning tasks for men, number 5, mopping the floors.
All right, mopping the floors. How much do you do that in your house?
Very, very little.
I do too.
And here's the thing. For a lot of these, it's probably going to be like, and maybe a lot of the ladies in the audience will be like, you know, when he actually does the chores, and I'm guilty of that as well. So,
all right,
need to help out more.
Number 4, rearranging furniture. Is this a household cleaning task? I don't know.
Happy wife, happy life type of a thing, too, because I've never, my mom does this, my wife does this, where it's, we're just going to rearrange how a room looks. And I think I liked where it was. When I was walking through in the dark, I knew what to avoid.
Horrible.
Most despised household cleaning tasks.
Yeah.
Number three. Cleaning the bathroom. This is for men. So we had mopping floors, rearranging furniture, then cleaning bathroom, and they were going up to most despised, cleaning the bathroom.
Interesting. I thought they'd go all the way down. I mean, I think cleaning the toilet in particular seems to be kind of unpopular. But all right, number 2, actually, I kind of enjoy from time to time. I do this. Dishes. I don't know. I just, something about it. I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Two roads diverge in a narrow wood here. I cannot stand doing dishes. And cleaning out the dishwasher is one thing, but when there is a pile, it is one of the most depressing sights in my life, which maybe shows you how easy my life is. Yeah. But when I see a big pile of unwashed dishes and I don't want to do it, and they're all in the sink, and so you have to like take them out of the sink just to make room so you can put in the fresh soapy water and then clean. Oh, man.
I just can't stand it.
That would be
a podcast.
Number 1.
I did it last night. Listen to radio or a podcast, and then you do it, and then afterwards you feel good, and you probably know that your spouse appreciates it. So anyhow.
All right. So we're up to number 1, most despised household cleaning tasks for men. Ladies, yours are coming. For men, number 1 most despised task is laundry. I don't mind this one.
Yeah.
And I don't do it very much. But again, for instance, what takes the longest? Probably folding the laundry, right? That's something where I'll put something on TV and kind of fold the laundry. And again, my wife does this way more often. But if I say, hey, actually have that prick of conscience where it's, you know what, you actually should help out more around here. Laundry's one I don't mind so much.
I've been in recent times, in the last month plus, trying to do the laundry once a week. And so just helping out in whatever way. All right, among the order from women, 5 to 1. Number 5 is, in terms of their most despised household chores, number 5 is ironing.
Ironing, okay.
All right, so that didn't even make the guys' list. Like, I think because guys, a handful of
if
them
you looked
iron,
at my shirt right now, you would see that ironing isn't high up on my priorities. Number four, cleaning and organizing closets, most despised tasks for the ladies.
All right. Number 3 for the ladies, cleaning their children's rooms. You actually posted something about cleaning your child's room
yesterday. I did, yeah, because throw this out on the air. So Lindsay yesterday declared to our eldest, she said, I'm thinking of making a new rule, implementing a new rule. You cannot play Wii unless you pick up your room. And Lily, ever the smart one, our 10-year-old, she said, I can't pick up my room, but I can clean it. But
yeah.
Number two. Mopping floors, most despised household cleaning tasks, mopping floors. That was number five for men. That's number two for women. So, guys, maybe that's an opportunity for service there for you.
And finally, the number one most despised household chore for the women is cleaning the bathroom.
No one really seems to like that one.
Mm-mm.
Vacuuming is not on either list. Huh. So are we okay with that generally as a society?
See, now I was like, what about cleaning up the dog dirt in the backyard?
Oh.
That we're getting,
nope,
that's
nope,
not a household
nope, nope.
chore.
Don't want to do that.
Not popular either. Oh, and I've got something that's a pet peeve. Other people who don't clean up their dog dirt in your yard or on public property, the song is brewing. Well, you know, two of the best quarterbacks in the NFL both got injured over the weekend. Lamar Jackson in the Buffalo-Baltimore game on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, Patrick Mahomes, I believe, was diagnosed with a concussion, both of them. But I was really impressed by the Buffalo Bills fans, the way they stepped up.
And they've done things like this before. So I remember, what was it, 2 years ago, I think, when the Bills made the playoffs for the first time, and I don't know how many years, or was it just last year? And thanks to the Cincinnati Bengals beating the team that was ahead of them in the playoff hunt, Andy Dalton threw a touchdown pass for the Bengals when he played for them, and the Bills got in thanks to the Bengals winning that game. So Bills fans said, hey, we want to show some appreciation to this quarterback for a team completely other than ours. And so they went and found his personal charity, he and his wife, and gave thousands and thousands of dollars. Well, they're doing it again now this year, and it's actually, I think, really classy to an opponent that they just beat. So Lamar Jackson from the Ravens has a charity called Blessings in a Backpack, and it gives meals to kids who often rely on their schools for food. And so Bills fans not only beat the Ravens, but also I think some charity being shown to the outstanding quarterback for the Ravens who went down with an injury.
Yeah.
And they said, you know what, we're going to be gracious in victory and defeat.
So the Bills fans have the name the Bills Mafia, and you think Mafia bad, but this is good. I mean, these fans, again, $360,000 is what's been donated.
That's amazing.
Again, they're
Two
happy
days.
They won, but hey, feeling for Lamar Jackson, very close game, could have gone either way, and so I'm sure Lamar grateful to their generosity.
Yeah, and you hear about Bills fans and Packers fans, some of the biggest fan bases in the league in terms of hail and heartiness going out in the cold with some of the snow that they get up there and in the Northeast. And really amazing. I mean, this game just happened. And already here by Tuesday morning, $360,000 given to a charity that certainly could use it.
I would love to see a Green Bay Buffalo Super Bowl. The only problem is I'd hate to see Buffalo get yet another Super Bowl loss. But hey, you know, go Pack, go.
Great fan base and a great gesture here. And hopefully Lamar Jackson feeling well again soon.